Father, we will not do that without your help. We will not do that apart from your grace. So turn our eyes from ourselves, turn our eyes from the things of this earth and this world, and turn our eyes to Jesus. May he receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor for all that is said and done this morning. Without him, we would be lost. Without him, we would be without hope. Without him, we would be without a future. And so we thank you this morning for the grace and the glory of Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to go to a cross, to die where we should have died. And thank you for his victory over sin and death and the devil through the empty grave and the empty tomb. Thank you for Jesus. May we see him this morning, and may we leave this place thinking higher thoughts of him and having fallen deeper in love with him because of who he is and all that he has done and is doing and will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. It is an honor and privilege to sing alongside of you. It's been a great morning already. I love kids. How many of you love kids? All you parents better be raising your hands, and your grandparents better be raising your hands. We love children here. We'll have children in this service. They may disrupt this service, but that's okay. Listen, children are a sign of life in the church, and they are to be celebrated. And we are to celebrate the women that God used to bring them into this world. And so I want to say to you this morning, as you find your place in the Bible in Proverbs 31, page 654 in that church Bible. So if you don't have a Bible with you, please find a Bible near you there in the seat back of the pew in front of you, page 654, Proverbs 31 this morning. I just want to say, we praise God for the women he has given us here at Bethel. So happy Mother's Day to you all. We love you all. We honor you all. We are honored to be with you on part of your special day. And please know how deeply thankful we are for you. Here at Bethel, we celebrate God's good gift of mothers. And so I hope that you do sense our deep appreciation for you, not just on this day, but every day. And I want you to know that because, honestly, Mother's Day is the most difficult Sunday of the year for me to preach. Not because I don't love mothers or motherhood, because there are so many people and situations to keep in mind. While Mother's Day is so joyful in so many ways, it's also a hard day for many people in many ways. I want to be sensitive to that this morning. Maybe your mother abused you or abandoned you, and so today is painful for you. Or maybe you did have a loving and caring mom, but now she is gone. She's no longer with you, and so you miss her dearly, especially on this day. Or maybe you so badly want to be a mom, but you aren't a mom yet. Maybe you've had difficulty getting pregnant, or you couldn't stay pregnant. Or maybe you've lost a child. And that's why coming to church on Mother's Day is a very difficult thing for you. The pain is real. The hurt really hurts. I want to care well for you today by reminding you that 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says that our God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is near to the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And one of the ways that God does that is by calling us to celebrate the godly people he has placed around us who are still with us. So the challenge is not allowing what I don't have to keep me from praising him for what I do have. Because as James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And I do think, honestly, that everyone here this morning would acknowledge that God has given to us a godly woman who's had a profound impact on us. Do you agree with that? A mother, a grandmother, a sister, a sister-in-law, a teacher, a coworker, a friend. And right here in Proverbs 31, God calls us to celebrate that godly woman. Now, women, please stay with me. Don't shut me down because I mentioned Proverbs 31. I know this is a hard text to hear. Many of you know that Proverbs 31 is all about the perfect woman. I mean, she farms, she cooks, she sews, she's a real estate broker, an entrepreneur, a teacher, and a philanthropist, all while being the perfect wife and mother. Aren't you glad I'm preaching from Proverbs 31 this morning? Now, don't let that demoralize you or discourage you. Listen, no woman is all that. No woman could be all that. And the author gets that. And that's why the tone here in Proverbs 31 isn't one of condemnation, but commendation and celebration. So please keep that in mind as we read her story, and then I want to give you a few instructions on what to do with her story. All right, here we go. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of our God. And the big idea in this part of God's word is that a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. Now, I want you to notice, it is not a woman with a spotless house who is to be praised. And it's not a woman with perfectly behaved children decked out in designer clothing. It isn't even the woman who's married or the woman with children. It's the woman who fears the Lord. She is to be praised. And so I want to give some instructions for how to hear and how to respond to her story. First to the women. Please listen, women. Proverbs 31, this Proverbs 31 woman isn't here to drive you to despair, but to propel you to persevere. So please don't say, oh great, Pastor Ken, we come on Mother's Day, I've already worked my fingers to the bone trying to be a godly woman, and now the perfect Proverbs 31 woman is staring me straight in the face, making me feel like a massive failure because she is flawless. Don't say that. Now, you are right about part of that. She is flawless. And that's because she isn't a real woman. She's an ideal woman. So rather than focusing on the particulars of her life, focus on the one thing that defines and drives her life. She fears the Lord. Everything about her springs from that. She is celebrated for that. And husbands, we need to hear that. Because Proverbs 31 is not a checklist for you to make mental notes of where your wife falls short. Ephesians 5 makes it clear that we as men, as husbands, are to love our wife and to give ourselves up for her. You are to pursue your wife's godliness. You are to encourage her godliness. You are to sacrifice for her godliness. You are to build her up in her godliness. So let me ask the question, guys, we good? You can respond. Guys, we good? Good. Because here is where it gets interesting. In this chapter, there is one primary audience, and it isn't the women, and it isn't the married men. It's actually single, unmarried guys. Notice verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs 31. These are the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? And every mom in this room can identify with what she is saying, because every mom in this room has repeatedly said, son, what are you doing? That's King Lemuel's mom here. What are you doing, son? Because when it comes to finding a wife, don't pursue the wrong kind of woman. Pursue the right kind of woman. Pursue a woman who fears the Lord. Now, if we were Lemuel, we would raise our hand right now and say, Mom, so what does she look like? What are the characteristics? What are the qualities I should be looking for in that godly woman? What kind of woman is the woman who fears the Lord? Well, first, Mom was going to say to King Lemuel in verses 11 and 12, she is a woman who is trustworthy. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Now, notice that little word in. It is a small but significant word. And anyone who's ever done the trust fall knows how significant that little word is. Anybody ever done the trust fall? Anybody ever done the trust fall? Everybody know what I'm talking about the trust fall? So if you don't, let me try to explain it to you. It's where one person or a group of people stand behind you while you are facing away from them, and then you keep your body rigid as you fall backwards into their arms, hopefully before you hit the floor. That's a pretty good picture of what it means to trust in someone. You are letting go of safety and security, and you're embracing vulnerability. You're placing your life in their hands. That's what a husband does with a godly wife. He doesn't just trust her. He trusts in her. And that's fascinating, because outside of this verse and another verse in the book of Judges, God is always saying, don't trust in anyone or in anything other than me. But here we have a picture of a husband who trusts in his wife. And why does he trust in her? We're told in verse 12. Because she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She promotes his good. She protects his reputation. She doesn't tear him down. She builds him up at home and out in the community. And that is my mom. That's my mom. I love my mom. I'm going to call Mom later today. I already sent her a text, and I sent her, hopefully she's not watching this live, but I sent her an Amazon gift card today. I texted her and said, Happy Mother's Day, I'll talk to you later. My mom has been married to my dad and to her pastor for 55 years. By the way, that's not two different men, that's the same man. And being married to a pastor is not an easy thing. Because pastoral ministry isn't just public ministry with the church and the community, it's also private ministry to your own family. And your family knows the real you. My dad would be the first to admit that he is not perfect. And although Mom for 55 years has had a front row seat to his imperfections, I can't remember her speaking a critical word about Dad ever. I was never left wondering if she loved him and supported him. I was never left wondering if she was for him or against him. That's this God-fearing woman. And that's why down in verse 23, it's because of her that her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Listen, this husband is excelling because his wife is excellent. She makes him not just want to be a better man, she makes him a better man, not just because she's trustworthy, but because, secondly, she's a woman who embraces sacrifice. Now, again, this is where we need to focus on the principles and not the particulars of this Proverbs 31 woman. Because verse 15 says that this woman rises while it's still dark outside. And then we read down in verse 18 that she stays up late and she sleeps with her light on. Listen, the point here isn't that a godly woman, you'll be able to recognize a godly woman, she's always yawning. You know, she's always got bags under her eyes from a lack of sleep. That's not the point that King Lemuel's mom is making here. She is saying that this kind of woman will make all the sacrifices necessary to provide for her family. And if you've been a mom, you know that there are plenty of nights where you get very little sleep. Verse 13 tells us that a woman who fears the Lord is willing, she works with willing and joyful hands to ensure that her family has clothing. Verses 14 and 16, she ensures that her family has food. And how does she do that? Well, one of the ways she does that, she goes out and she buys a field and she plants a vineyard. And then she brings in her food from afar, like the ships of a merchant. And on top of that, she's got a side hustle going down in verse 24. She makes linen garments and she sells them, delivering sashes to merchants for profit. It's all proof of what we read down in verse 27, that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. See, whatever the need, she will meet it. Whatever the task, she will do it. Whatever the cost, she will pay it. Her success is defined by the sacrifices she makes on behalf of her family. And that's true in our own family. My wife, Joanna, the mother of my children, she makes so many sacrifices for us. Many of them I'm not even aware of. But there is a sacrifice that I'm always aware of. Joanna gives up many of her Saturday evenings with me. If I'm preaching on Sunday morning like this morning, she knows that when about 5 o'clock on Saturday evening rolls around, I am now in full-blown Sunday mode. I'm tweaking my sermon, I'm reviewing my sermon, I'm praying through my sermon. So for Joanna, there are very few Saturday evening walks or Saturday evening dates. And I love her for that. I love her for the sacrifices she makes willingly and joyfully, both for her family and for me as her husband. And so if my ministry will ever be labeled a success, it will in large part be due to the grace of God flowing to me and then through me because of the sacrifices Joanna makes for me. A godly woman embraces sacrifice, which is not a sign of weakness, but of strength. Because thirdly, this godly woman is a woman who exudes strength. Two times here in this chapter, the godly woman is described as being clothed with strength. Notice verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Then verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. And that's intriguing because did you notice this chapter is written not as a narrative, but as a poem? And it reads a lot like the poems that were written as tributes to military heroes in Israel's history. That's why there's military imagery in this poem. Most poems like this were written as a tribute to the valor and the strength of a military hero. But this one is written to the valor and strength of a godly woman. She is not weak. She is strong. She has a strong spirit. She has a strong mind. And in verse 17, she has strong arms. Now, that doesn't mean, husbands, that you should gift your wife a membership to the gym for Mother's Day. And young men looking for a wife, that doesn't mean you go to the gym looking for a woman who will be a godly wife because you see that in her strong and big biceps. No, remember, this is a poem. And poetry is full of figurative language and idioms. And like when I was a kid, Mom would play the organ in church, and it didn't matter where I was sitting in church, she saw everything. I couldn't get away with anything. It's like Mom had eyes in what? Eyes in the back of her head. That's a phrase. That's a figurative phrase. It's an idiomatic phrase. That's the kind of language that is being used in this Proverbs 31 poem. So it isn't that to be a godly woman, you've got to have big biceps. It's that a godly woman works hard with the strength that God has given to her, so that when the going gets tough, she keeps on going. She's tenacious. She's got this holy toughness about her. And that's why in verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She's outfitted them in winter coats. She meets the tough times head on. She is strong, but she is also kind. She is both tough and tender. Because fourthly, a godly woman shows kindness. She isn't tight-fisted with what she has. She's open-handed. She's not a hoarder of stuff. She's a giver of stuff. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Now, notice something here. Notice that it's not that the poor are coming to her, it's that she is going to the poor. She doesn't wait for opportunities to give, she creates opportunities to give. And in our world today, that is radical because it is so countercultural. The world is constantly telling us, you do you. Pamper yourself, indulge yourself, spoil yourself. But God says, die to yourself and deny yourself by giving of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't take time for yourself to take care of your needs. It doesn't mean you shouldn't build in downtime. What it does mean is what Jesus says in Mark 10, verses 43 and 44. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Listen, we can't be living for the glory of God if we aren't serving others by living for the good of others. And I know that because I've been on the receiving end of that. You see, when I look into the rearview mirror of my life, I can see the faces of so many women that God has used to bless me and grow me and minister to me. I see my childhood Sunday school teachers named Eva and Georgia. I see Debbie, who taught me in Vacation Bible School. I see Kathy and Peggy, who along with their husbands were our church youth leaders. And then in the churches I've pastored, I see faces of women, including right here at Bethel, some of you right here in this room. God has used so many women to encourage my faith and grow my faith and strengthen my faith. And although I'm often the one referred to as the minister, God has used so many women to minister to me. I say to you this morning, thank you. I praise God for you and I celebrate you. As a pastor, I need you. And I hope and pray that I'm a better pastor because of you. Because you're like this Proverbs 31 woman. She doesn't just create opportunities to show kindness and serve others. She walks in wisdom and shares that wisdom with others. It's verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. She is one wise woman, but it isn't because of what she knows. It's because of who she knows. She knows God. She loves God because she fears God. It's verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, everything this woman is, everything this woman does, is sourced in the fact that she is a God-fearing woman. Because as Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, to fear God doesn't mean that she's afraid of God. She's not cowering in the corner, hiding from God. No, she stands in awe of God. She gets who God is and who she is in relation to this awesome God. And so she reveres God and she respects God and she worships God. And that's why down in verse 25, she can laugh at the time to come. She doesn't fear the future. She doesn't fear what could happen or what might happen. No, she's calm and cool and collected because she knows the one who holds the future is the one who's holding her. And she fears him, not the future. That's what makes her beautiful. That's what makes her valuable. As verse 10 says, she is far more precious than jewels. She's wise and kind and strong and giving and trustworthy because she is a woman whose character is sourced in her God. She's plugged into the divine power source. She has a living and breathing relationship with God that's revealed in her fear of God. Do you have that? Do you have that as a woman? Do you have that as a man? A living, breathing relationship with the God of this universe by which you are plugged into the divine power source because you know him and you love him. Do you belong to him? What's the power source in your life? Because this is not a sermon about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and being better or doing more. This is a sermon about the God of a godly woman, the God of a godly man, the God of a godly young person. It's about his grace at work in us, the one who, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's about the God who sent his own son, born of a woman, to bring us into relationship with him so that his power could flow into us and through us. That's why God sent Jesus to us, so that we could come to him and belong to him and know him and love him and fear him because we are connected by Jesus and Jesus alone to him. Is that true for you? You know what all that took? For us to know him and love him and be connected to him, connected to the divine power source for life. You know what that took? It took God bridging an infinite gap that our sin had created between us and him. And it took God laying all of those sins on his one and only son, Jesus. It took Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Do you believe that that was done for you? Are you connected to the power source of all life? Do you know God through Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And how did Jesus bring us to God? 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous in the place of the unrighteous, so that he might bring us to God. And that's why salvation is always and only by grace alone, through faith alone. And this is not of our our doing. It is not of works, lest any of us should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. So how are you connected to God? Through whom are you connected to God? How are you plugged into the divine power source? Listen, there is only one right answer. And we read it in Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Would you come to him? Would you trust in him? Would you embrace him by grace alone, through faith alone? And when you do, you will know God and you will fear God. And then you will get that a godly woman is to be praised. She is to be praised. Why? Because she points us to Jesus. The character qualities we see in her life are a mirror, are a window through which we see the character of Jesus. He doesn't just embrace sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. He is infinitely strong and kind. He is perfectly trustworthy because he is wisdom personified. And when we see the character of Christ in a woman, we are to celebrate that. We are to praise her for that. So here are today's three takeaways. I'm going to begin with the husbands. Husbands, treasure and praise your wife because you see the character of Christ in her life. Verses 28 and 29. Her husband praises her. He says to her, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Guys, husbands, that's what you say when you get home today. That's what you say. Don't say this. Don't say, you know, "I've made a list of some Proverbs 31 stuff for you to work on." No. For so many reasons, don't go there. Celebrate her for all the ways that you see God's grace at work in her. And don't do that just today or this week. Do it every day and every week. Tell her the specific ways you see Christ-like characteristics in her. Tell her in front of your kids and your grandkids, because the kind of praise that God calls you to right here isn't a private thing. It's a public thing. So let the people around you at work and in the neighborhood and in this church, let them know that you treasure her. That she is far more precious to you than anyone and anything else in your life, including your golf game and your bass boat. Because apart from your relationship with God, she is to be your most prized treasure. Is she? Does she know that? Because you show that. You see, your children and your grandchildren are watching and listening. They're learning from you how to praise their mom, because this text calls them as children, young children, teenage children, grown children, to rise up and call their mother blessed. It's verse 28. Children, thank your mom for the sacrifices, the countless sacrifices she makes for you, and the thousand kindnesses she shows to you, and the wisdom, the great wisdom she invests in you. But most of all, children, praise her for showing Jesus to you. And one of the ways you do that, in fact, the primary way you do that, is by fearing the God she fears and following the Jesus she follows. That's how you rise up and call her blessed. And that isn't just something that children should do. It's something that this community called Bethel should do. So as a church, let's praise God for the godly women he has given to us. It's verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Notice, in the gates. There's a community there with this godly woman to praise God for the godly woman and to praise God because of the godly woman. The greatest compliment anyone could ever give to you, women, is what we read in Galatians 1, verse 24. And they praised God because of me. So women, that's what we do today. We praise God because of you. And we praise you because we see God in you and through you. So many of you serve your husband faithfully, your children selflessly, and this church sacrificially. We praise God for you. We praise God because of you. Know that you are super valuable to us and to God. Single or married, children or no children, God has created you with a dignity, a beauty, and a worth that far surpasses anything this world could ever offer. And that's why a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Father, may you take your word and may you plant it deep in us. May you shape and fashion us in your likeness. And we thank you for your good gifts. We thank you for the gift of salvation to all who will repent of their sins and turn to Jesus in faith. We thank you for the gift of mothers and women through which you demonstrate your character to a lost and dying world. Help us to see. Help us to see Jesus in them. Help us to praise them. Help our children to rise up and call her blessed, because our women are pointing us to you. Thank you for being a good God and a gracious God and a saving God. And may we fear together as a church. May we fear the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.